Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. For all you liturgical police out there, relax. I know it is still Epiphany, or for those of you who have already transfigured our Lord, it is pre-Lent. One-year joke for you guys. But soon enough, it will be Lent, and we will have to tuck our alleluias away for some time, so let's get them in while we can. For those of you who haven't read my biography on the back or don't know me that well, and one correction on the bio, says that my daughter is 2 months. She's actually 7 months now, just 7 months on Friday. But I served in the Army for 8 years prior to coming to the seminary. And one of the most basic tasks that all soldiers are taught is called land navigation, and it's exactly what it sounds like. You navigate across land. You are given a map and a compass, a start point, and then a list of points that you have to reach as you traverse through different forest terrain. Sometimes it's in the desert. If you're very lucky, it's up in the snow, and that is terrible. But the point is that you know where you begin, you're given your endpoints, and you use the map and the compass to orient yourself, and then you march until you get to those points. And at the points, there's some sort of code or little stamp that you place to show that, to verify that you've actually made it to those points. Now, if you stayed on course using your map and compass, you would find your points, and eventually you would complete the exercise. But if you veered off course, you could find yourself in some very difficult terrain. And not only that, you would end up failing the exercise. So if you recognized that you had gotten off course, you consulted with your map, consulted from your start points, and then you used your compass to reorient yourself to get back on track. Well, the church at Corinth seemed to be veering off its course toward her Lord. If you've been here in chapel the last several Mondays, the readings have been from 1 Corinthians, and you've heard about these things. There were divisions, there were factions, there was sexual immorality, some that hadn't even been heard of among the Gentiles. There was lack of church discipline, there was chaotic worship, there were bad communion practices, and all of these were steering the Corinthian church away from her Lord. The church was in danger of going awry from the gospel which she had been given. And St. Paul had heard of their wayward path, so he wrote them. He wrote them to get them back on course. And after reorienting them concerning all these practices and doctrine, he concludes his letter to the Corinthians with one final course correction. St. Paul, who had navigated his own difficult terrain, both literally and figuratively, instructs the Corinthians on the resurrection of the dead. He begins that instruction by reminding them of their start point, of where they were, that they stand in the gospel that he had preached to them, the gospel by which they were being saved. And St. Paul specifically locates that start point for their faith, that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And St. Paul continues by explaining the significance and the impact of these events in being their start point. Then St. Paul reorients them to their end point. A resurrection reality. The resurrection reality is that death is not the end point. Death does not have the final say about life. The resurrection reality is that all will be raised and that those who are in Christ will be brought into his kingdom. The resurrection reality is that when the end comes, Christ will deliver his kingdom to the Father, and death, the final enemy, will be destroyed. This resurrection reality is how things will be. But this resurrection reality is not only for the end times. The resurrection reality has an impact here and now. For St. Paul, that resurrection reality determined his reality. You see, he put himself in danger for it. He asked, "Why do I fight beasts at Ephesus if there is no resurrection?" St. Paul maintains his discipline over against the pessimistic attitudes of, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." St. Paul knows that the resurrection makes this life matter. What he does as an apostle called by the Lord Jesus Christ matters. The spreading of the gospel matters. Living according to God's will matters. And he charges the Corinthians to know and do the same. To carry out the will of God and not to avoid it. He tells them to wake up from their drunken stupor and do not go on sinning. For there are forces at work to deceive them and to pull them off course from their Lord. There are forces today at work to pull the church off course towards her Lord. The devil is hell-bent on disorienting the church through his deception. He deceives us into playing power games, to turn in on each other and attack each other, causing divisions and factions. He deceives us with false teachings, tempting us to compromise doctrine in order to accommodate the world. He deceives us into false practices, tempting us not to practice in accordance with sound doctrine. But God has not abandoned us to this perilous course. He has provided a map and a compass to get us back on course. He has given us His Word and His Holy Spirit to point us back to the resurrection reality. He points us back to the reality that Christ is risen. Christ, who overcame sin, death, and the devil, is risen, and He is still Lord of His church. He has given the church the Holy Spirit to reorient us back to Himself, back to the resurrection reality. But even more, Christ meets us along this journey. When we need to be reoriented, Christ meets us in His Word to guide us. He meets us in His own body and blood to sustain and nourish us along this journey. That same body and blood which was given and shed on Calvary to purchase and win His church. Christ's Word and His own body and blood that reside in you are the resurrection reality for you. So we live in this resurrection reality even now, pointed towards Christ, towards that end point. And we live in that resurrection reality now for one another. We live in it by pointing each other back to Christ. We live in it as those who have been claimed by Christ. You see, you have God's Word on you through your baptism. You have God's Word in you by hearing it. It's in your hearts and it's in your minds. And as those who have God's Word in you and on you, you belong to that resurrection reality. And in doing that, you help reorient each other back to the risen Lord. And we do this not by playing power games, by causing division or factions, but we do this in humility and love for one another. We do this not by accommodating the world, but by speaking the truth in love to the world. We live in this resurrection reality in submission to our Lord and to his teachings, remembering always that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the day of his return. Amen. Please stand for the hymn.